Today we're going to be talking about, will you see God? Folks, everybody eventually is going to see God. I hope you realize in this lifetime, God wants you to see him. And God wants to walk with you through this life. So we're going to stand together this morning. We're going to honor God as we read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you've completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you're not disciplined, then everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. Let's pray together. Father, today as we look at this, as we look at seeing God, Father, help us to be a people that are eager to see our Lord and to walk with our Lord through this life and to see our God in the next life and to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, bless us today, and we're going to give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. How do you see true holiness? Do you see it as important in your life? Do you see it as important for your family's life and for the life of your friends and neighbors? Just how important does God see holiness in your life? So we're going to look today at a key verse to find out how important personal holiness is with our God. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Do you understand that with your very best efforts, sometimes you cannot live at peace with everyone? Because Hebrews 12:14 again said, make every effort to live at peace with everyone. Folks, there are times in life when you simply cannot live at peace with everyone. In Romans 12:18, it says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. But sometimes with our very best efforts to live at peace with someone, if they don't wish to live at peace with us, there's nothing that we can do that's going to change the situation. Even our Lord tried to live at peace with everyone. But he had to be true to his Father. And sometimes being true to your Father in heaven will put you at odds with others. And so it's very important for us to understand that with our very best efforts, sometimes we cannot live at peace with everyone. You have a child that's bound determined that he's going to live in sin. My friends, you are not going to be able to live at peace with that child. You have a mother or father that's bound determined they're going to live at sin. Folks, you can't live at peace with them. But holiness, true holiness, is an absolute choice for every single person. If you desire to live a truly holy life, no one in this world can stop you. So I think it's important at the start of this that we lay out what true holiness really is. So this morning, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, we're going to examine what true holiness is. We'll look at the reason true holiness is so needful, and we'll also look at the only way true holiness may be obtained. So let's start off with some people who claim to be holy, but God said they were not holy at all. True holiness is simply not knowledge of God's word, but obedience to God's word and will. Balaam was a prophet of God in the Old Testament. He heard God speak, and he told people what God said. The unfortunate thing for Balaam was that he was a prophet for P-R-O-F-I-T. He used the gift of God to make money. Money became more important to Balaam than faithfulness was to Balaam. Balaam spoke the word of God, but for personal P-R-O-F-I-T. He was serving God for profit. Folks, when you mix that, today we have some pastors, TV evangelists, that are making literally millions of dollars a year for profit. A very easy way to slide sideways. Balaam heard what God said and told the people. In Numbers 25, verse 1, it says, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people and kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your people who have yoked themselves to the Baal Peor. It was actually Balaam that gave the king of Moab the suggestion to have the young women of Moab have sexual relations with the Israelite men and get them to worship Baal. Folks, Balaam was again for financial profit. He was a prophet of God who misused his gifts. And I tell you with great sadness, many today are still doing the same exact thing. The Apostle Peter gave a warning to the people of his day not to be in the business of serving God for profit. In 2 Peter 2:15, Peter said they've left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Folks, we need to be careful here because it's easy to use God's giftedness for personal profit. When we do that, we're straying away from true holiness. And Balaam lost his prophet's reward because instead of being a faithful prophet for God, he profited from men. True holiness does not just come because of a high position in the work of the Lord. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 apostles. Can't get much higher than that in the kingdom of God. And yet the Bible says he was a thief and he betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Again, you go back to money. Money all through the Bible, there's a warning. Don't set your heart on finances. Set your heart on the Lord. In John chapter 12, verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Again, a man of high position in God's kingdom, using his position for personal profit. Folks, guard your heart here. This is one of the things that pulls so many people back into this world, back into the ways of this world, is the love of money. Our Lord Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and mammon, and mammon is the word for money. We need to make some choices here if we're truly going to be holy in the sight of our God. In Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 6, talking again about Judas, it says, now the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Folks, beware of the trap of setting your heart on wealth on this earth. The Bible over and over warns against it. True holiness does not just mean religious zeal. The Pharisees had a religious zeal. The Apostle Paul told the people of Israel, I know that you have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There is a religious zeal that can get you into all kinds of trouble. When you have a religious zeal, and if you're a particular denomination or a particular group of people, and what they teach becomes more important to you than what God's word says, you have a religious zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. So many people follow what their priest or their pastor says and puts that above the word of God. They have a great zeal that everybody should believe what they believe in their denomination, but they don't realize that what their denomination may be teaching is contrary to the very word of God whom they say they love. Folks, I could go through group after group with you today, telling you what they believe and how zealous they are for it, and yet it's absolutely contrary to the word of God. Religious zeal of the Pharisees is talked about in Matthew 23, verse 23. It says, woe to you, teachers of law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. If you can imagine being so zealous about tithing that you even tithe your dint, mill, and cumin, which are little teeny herbs, and you forget to love people. You forget to be gracious to people. You forget faithfulness to the Lord because you're all caught up in the minute details of the faith. Folks, that's exactly what happened to the Pharisees. And it's exactly what's happening to people today. They're so caught up in their little thoughts that they forget God's true holiness. True holiness is not morality, outward respectability of conduct. The wealthy ruler had that. Folks, listen to this because it's so important. So many people think they're going to get to heaven because they're a good person. They do good works. The Bible says very clearly, and we all need to take this to heart. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The rich young ruler is talked about in Luke chapter 18, verse 18. It says, a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Do you know what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, the reason you call me good is because I am God. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses the term, "I am." And he claims that's who he is. "I am" is the covenant name of God. Jesus said, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." Folks, isn't it interesting? The love of money got Balaam into trouble. The love of money got Judas into trouble. And the love of money kept this rich young ruler from entering the kingdom of God. Folks, this is so important. I hope you're catching the idea that money and the pursuit of money, especially breaking the rules of God to get money, is going to land you up in a lot of trouble. True holiness is not taking great pleasure at the preaching of God's word. The Jews of Ezekiel's time had that. They really enjoyed hearing the word of God preached. But the book of James gives us a severe warning here. You can really enjoy hearing the word of God preached, but if you never get around to putting it into effect in your life, you are never going to know true holiness. In James 1, verse 22, James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and he immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do." So often people say, "Well, I read through the Bible every year." And I got to tell you, I think that's a wonderful habit to try to get into. But just reading through the Bible can get very, very boring unless during your times of reading, your heart's desire is to become more like your Lord. When you read the Bible through, whether it's in a year or 5 years, it doesn't matter. But when you're reading the Bible to see what Jesus was like and to become like him, the Bible becomes electric in your life. The Bible begins to transform your life from the inside out. The Christian life can be exciting when you want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand, folks, that God's number one goal for your life is for you to be Christ-like. It's the most important thing that you can set your goals on in life, of everything else you could set your goal on, to be like Jesus Christ. And what was Jesus Christ like? Jesus said, "I've come to do my Father's will." Wouldn't it be something in your personal life if you decided doing my Father's will for my life is the most important decision I can ever make? Folks, it will lead you to true holiness. Because a person, true holiness cannot be had even in the company of holy people. You can walk around with some of the most godly people and still never attain true holiness in your own life. Job walked with people that were truly holy. Gehazi walked with the prophet of God but did not become holy. Demas had it all. He was walking with Paul and all the rest, but he never became a holy person. A person may have any or all of those characteristics and still not be holy, because those things alone are not true holiness. What then is practical holiness? That's a very hard question to answer very simply, but I want to draw a picture when we talk about this the next time of our Lord drawing us into his word to develop personal holiness in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." Do you understand today that you will never be truly holy until you personally receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because no one can be holy in themselves. Only in Christ Jesus will God ever see you as holy. Only in Christ Jesus will you ever see God and be like God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." The Apostle Paul had spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul sought personal holiness. But he said when he received Christ, he put all of his own efforts aside because he realized in Christ he had it all. And so next week we're going to be talking about holiness of life being positional in the habit of being one mind with our Lord. And so I want to encourage you today, if you have never yet personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, it really is this simple. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God won't be surprised when you confess that you're a sinner. He already knows. So, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ shed his blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That will start you on the journey to true personal holiness. Because not everybody in Christ is living a holy life. In fact, I'm going to tell you quite honestly, most people who claim to be Christians and I believe many of them are not living holy lives. And so there's more than just receiving Christ. You have to learn how to walk in Christ. And that's where the Bible study becomes alive. When you have a heart that wants to be like Jesus Christ, the Bible will come alive to you. And you're going to see things you've never seen before. When those verses begin to jump off that page at you, I want to encourage you, memorize those portions of the Word of God. Because it's through the Word of God that we walk with Christ. It's through the Word of God that we truly are transformed to Christ's likeness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for your Word, for the invitation to receive Christ as our Savior, and then to receive the invitation to walk with him. Jesus claimed to be the Good Shepherd. He's promised to walk with us all the days of our life, to give us the guidance that we need for daily holy living. Father, positionally, those of us that are in Christ are declared to be holy. But day by day, our state, that's where the work is at. And so, Father, we pray that you'll bless us, that you'll encourage us, that you'll call us to a daily walk of being of one mind with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll give you the praise in his holy name. Amen.